Good evening, Calvary.
Good evening.
If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn with me tonight. First to the book of Matthew chapter 21. We'll be all through the scriptures tonight as we usually are. Don't like to stay in one place, it seems. But anyway, it's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. Good to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
I trust that you've had a blessed week so far. I really, really enjoyed Sunday morning and how that we just bask in our Savior's love. And I'm telling you what, it was a good service and it kind of went contrary to my way of thinking and my way of programming, so to speak. I had a message I was going to preach on just looking at grace just a little closer. But as we saw that, we just tailed up, took the back end of that message, and somebody moved the sunscreen under here. If you were here, you saw that I had the sunscreen down in the middle of that plant. And if you'll remember, grace applied will keep you from burning. Same as this right here will keep you from burning. Grace supplied will keep you from burning, but sometimes I had it hid down the middle of that plant. Sometimes you got to look just a little closer into the face of grace. Who is the face of grace? If you're saved and the person beside you is saved, you can look over at them and say, you're a picture of grace. And I'm a picture of grace because I'm saved. Look at those that's been through cancers and all those things that are saved and sealed, but yet God delivered them not just from their soul from hell, but also delivered them from whatever it was that they were battling. And I'm telling you what, you look around, we're all a picture of grace. If you're saved, you are a true picture of grace. So if you're going to look at grace and what grace does and what grace is, just look at your neighbor. If they're saved, just look at them and praise the Lord for them. Tonight got a kind of an odd message tonight. It's odd to me, but it ain't odd to God. It's what that'd be a good title for me. Not odd to God. But it's not odd to God. It's odd to me tonight whenever I think of this. And the title of the message would be, are you a thief? And whenever I say, are you a thief? Immediately you say, absolutely not. I'm not a thief. What's the definition of a thief? Something, taking something that doesn't belong to you. Taking something without permission of somebody else's and using it for your own as if it was yours. I was put this little thing out there this evening and Brother Chris saw it and he posted a quote right below it and he used this verse and you don't have to turn there, but those jotting it down, it's a great verse. It goes along kind of with my thought tonight, but it's found in the book of Isaiah chapter number 42. And listen to what it says in verse number 8. He said, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. In other words, he's not going to give his glory up. He's not going to give up his praise. He's just not going to give that to he. It belongs to him. He's a jealous God, and it belongs to him. None of us deserve that, Brother Derek, but he does, and he's not going to give that to another. So if we take that, I preached a message some time ago here called Stolen Honor or Stolen Valor, and I remember that. There's a website devoted to that. It's where these knuckleheads that's never served in the military, they'll go out, portray themselves as being a veteran, and they'll come in marching in with ribbons and all the commendation medals and the Vietnam Veteran Service Air medals and the Air Force Cross and all these different medals, and they'll sell themselves off of being some kind of a hero of wartime. Well, if we're not very careful, we'll do the same thing when we come into God's house, taking credit for that God's done. I'm telling you what, I'm a sinner saved by God's grace, but I deserve no credit for anything. And I'm seeing preachers now lay claim to saving people and healing people and all manners of things. I'm telling you what, that man's a thief. And if you're not careful, we ourselves could be a thief. What would happen, Tam Cheek, if you went home over there to the house and you come in tonight and right there stands a guy, and let's just say this is your 50-inch TV, and he's going out the door with it as you're coming in. What's kind of the outcome, or how's that going to play out? It's not good. Tam says it's just not good. Ken, what happens? You go home, you're pulling off a drag strip road or whatever that road is, Champion Mount Pleasant Road, and all of a sudden you see a guy with a hand truck and he's got your gun safe going out the door with it. It's not a good night. What's going to happen? Hey, Navy, what's going to happen? You go home and there he is. He's coming out and he's got your chainsaw and your weed eater and your backpack blowers all right there. What? He gonna meet your pistol. I'm telling you, we're a lot harder on thieves around here than Lord is. Brother Joe, what happens? Beat him to a pulp? Shoot him? All of them? Stab him? Grant, y'all are hard on... Y'all like thieves? I can't stand a thief. That's the one thing I can't stand is a thief. I don't like a liar, and I don't like a thief. A murderer, he'll kill you. A thief, he'll steal from you, but a liar, you don't know what he's going to do. Why? Because he's a liar. That's what he does. Let's go ahead and stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. We got 1,000 prayer requests. If you want to know them, come to the prayer room. We've got just a whole bunch of people we're praying for that's sick and afflicted in body. In the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, we see the Lord, and he actually calls people out. And he uses the word thieves. But then you look at who he's talking to. These are scribes and these are priests. And look what he says. We're in the book of Matthew 21, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 12. The Bible said, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame come to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Is that not amazed you? That amazes me. The reckless nature of the chief priests and the scribes. What's going on, Brother Derek? I'm telling you, they're thieves. They've been stealing his glory. Listen, my friends, they're not taking of the temple vessels. They're not taking of the treasury of Almighty God. Brother Tam, they're not taking that belong. What they're stealing is the very purpose of the house of God. And if we're not very careful, we'll find ourselves doing that. Let's read on. Well, I'm going to preach the message before y'all even get set down. And he said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Brother James Haynes, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated this evening, I just want you to understand, I don't know why all of you come to church. I come because this is the place I get my batteries charged. I mean, I come here and I get excited about coming here. Now, I'll be the first to admit, Miss Mary, there's been times whenever I just really didn't feel like going to church. And you've been there too. You just didn't feel like going. Maybe it was spiritual. Maybe there was something physical. Maybe there was some kind of an ailment. Something just wasn't quite right. And you just didn't really feel like going. But you pushed through it and you went anyway. Well, bless God, there is a purpose for this place of worship. There is a defined purpose for every place of worship. In the book of Luke in chapter number 4, the Bible said, and Jesus quoted from the Old Testament whenever the Bible said that he stood up to read, and he read about how that he come to set the captives free. And he went to the temple himself, and my God, these people say, you don't need to go down there. You don't need to go to the Lord's house. You don't need to go to worship. You don't need to do this. My God, we need each other and we need this place and we need to keep it for its defined purpose. Because once we start changing the purpose of the place that we come to, then we start stealing from God. These people were not there to steal from the treasury. They were not there to take of the vessels. They were not there. What were they doing? They were sitting out there. They were the gainsayers, Brother Tam. They were those that were about the easy believism of the modern day. And you know how easy believism is. Just do this, do that. Come as you are, leave as you came. And brother, that's the way that it was then. You didn't have to do anything of yourself. You didn't have to give up any of your own. You didn't have to give up that lamb that you cuddled and that lamb that you nurtured, that lamb that you took care of to make sure that it was the best of your flock. It was the one the best of your herd. You didn't have to do any of that, brother. All you had to do was have just a little bit of money in your pocket. And when you got down there, Brother Tam, you could pick you up a trespass offering when you got there. You could pick you up a sin offering and just go in and then go ahead and offer that thing over. But there were those that were there, brother. And I'm telling you what, whenever I asked you, what would you do when you encountered a thief coming out of your house with your big screen? What are you going to do when you come out, Brother Kim, and you got somebody stealing something of yours? It's a bad day for everybody in Wilkes County, brother. I'm telling you, said Grant said, it's not going to be a good day because when I catch him with my stuff. Well, bless God, this was the very house of God, and this was the God-man, Jesus Christ, that goes into his temple. That's his house. And yet, what did he do? He got just a little bit frustrated with them. Kicks over their tables. He drives them out of his house. Now, Brother Chris done shot them. You say, well, yeah, he should have shot two or three of them and that got the word out. No, he was all about love, but I'm telling you what, love is one thing. God's house is a total another thing. We can love God, but yet desecrate his house. And this place is a house of worship. It's a house of praise. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of preaching. It's a house of teaching. It's a house, Brother Grant, that God ordained and set on the side of the road. It was consecrated for the work of God. Yes, and it's been standing the test of time all these years. Far be it for us to come in here and to rob from it, to steal from it. So when I ask you, are you a thief? We ask ourselves this question. What is a thief? That is the answer that I defined earlier. Is to take something without permission that does not belong to you and then use it as your own. Is it possible that there are gospel singers that are now singing just to be heard of men? You better believe they are. Are there preachers standing behind the book board just because they're trying to stand and get honor because they're the best one or they're the greatest one? Now, let me tell you, a man ever tells me that I'm the greatest preacher he's ever heard, brother, that man's lying already. And I'm going to watch that man and I'm going to let that comment go right off my shoulder and over my back, across my head, go wherever, brother, because I don't want that thing building a nest in my head. Because I'm not the greatest preacher. The greatest message that I've ever preached is the message that pricked somebody's heart and they got saved. The greatest message I've ever preached was a message of comfort that touched you when you were hurting and bereaved of heart. The greatest message I've ever preached was whenever you were starting to walk wayward, but it gently brought you back into the fold. So there's many greatest messages. The greatest message is what you need right now at this defined time. That's the greatest message for you and for you. And it won't be the same for you and for me or for any of us. The greatest message ever preached is the one that you need on that day. That's the greatest message. You say, I don't believe that. Go across a burning desert for about 6 or 8 weeks without any water. I'm telling you, that next drink of water, that's going to be the best drink you've ever had. Why? Because you're parched and you're dry and you need it right then and there. That's the way it is with God. He knows what we need and when we need it. So just thinking about this, what were these chief priests? And if you look and see who was in the temple, there was lame people in there. There were blind people in there. There were sick. And there's all kinds of people that had made their way down to the temple on this particular day when our Lord and Savior went by. But there were also not just priests, Brother Derek, but chief priests in there. And there were the scribes that were also in there, because the Bible tells us that in chapter 21, 13, 14, and then 15, it said that the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that God did. Brother Derek, you said they saw the wonderful things that he did, and he was doing it. And then the children, all they're crying, Hosanna unto God, and they're praising Jesus, the very son of David. And man, they're offering praise unto the Lord. And that man started to get real close to these chief priests. It started getting real close to the scribes. Why? But Brother Chris, they were about controlling the people. They were about prominence. They were about popularity. They were about what was in it for them. And I'm telling you what, I'm not finding it much different in the latter day. People's wanting prominence. They're wanting popularity. They're wanting praise of men. They're wanting a pat on the back by somebody to tell them how good they are. Bless God. Brother Chris, you love that verse of scripture about how that he must increase, but I must decrease. Have we not just about seen that thing totally turned on its head? Have we not seen that thing where I must increase and he must decrease? We've turned that thing around, brother. And that's a whole lot of people trying to take praise for what belongs unto God. Right. That person's a thief. Yes. Amen. So we're going to look tonight and see what they were stealing. Brother Charles, they were stealing from the very purpose of the house of God. And he told us what it was right in the scripture. The first was, he said, you have took my place, a place of prayer. Yes. Should that not be what it is? First and foremost, Brother Chris, a place of prayer. A place that we can come in. Brother Clayton, my heart breaks every time I see you. Every time I see Brother Gerald come up here and you just, basically, Brother Gerald, I've watched your life and I see how you keep pushing through, and I love you for how y'all continue to push through. You push through that grief, and it's not just y'all. They're all through here. You're all through this congregation of people that's hearts have been broken. But yet, bless God, you push through that grief, and I admire you for that. Now, how would that be for you and for you and for you and the others? If you did not have a place of prayer, if you didn't have a defined place where you knew that, man, I can talk to my Savior right there. Brother Tim, where'd you get saved? Point. Where at? Yeah, about right there. Ain't that about right where your brother was getting a little help a while ago? What is it about that spot? That's where Brother Clayton came up and prayed a while ago. That's where I remember. That's why I asked you. He got saved right here. But there's something about going to the place where you can actually hear from heaven. And bless God, that's a place where you yourself can just fall under the prayers of Almighty God, and you can get strength in your help in your time of need. There's something about that. But if you come in here and that's stolen because the purpose is no longer a place of prayer, it's all about everything else. Listen, if we ever get above that, Brother Greg, we're more about programs and what we can do for the young people. And man, we got to get these young people in here. Listen, I love the young people. I do. And I mean, Brother Robbie, go get more of them and solicit more people to drive the vans. Go get these kids. These kids are coming up and we're starting to see the van kids. They're asking questions now about salvation and what it means to be saved and what is baptism. They're getting closer. I'm looking for a great soul harvest of the van kids, but it's not just them. Brother Robert, your kids are getting to the age where they're going to start asking questions, and there's a whole bunch of kids coming up, and I'm looking for some people to get saved. We better keep this place of prayer, because if we lose that, it loses the purpose for what it's for. Ain't going to be some kids that's going to go to hell because we have changed it. We're starting to get more about programs and all the things. And let me tell you, Old Navy, when you come here, I hope you're coming because to preach the word of God. I hope you're coming here because them boys are going to need something from heaven someday. And you're not coming here because we have a big youth group. We got a big youth group and I want them to be a part of it. But come here because the word of God. Come here because the house of prayer is what it is. Brother, I don't know anywhere else to go but to the altar. And brother, there's something about the altar. There is, Brother Timber, something about that altar. And I got a chance, whenever the Lord called me to preach, I wanted to preach in two places. And God let me preach in both of them. I run a revival in the church that I got saved in. And I didn't call him up and say, hey, I have announced my call to preach. Can I come over there and preach? I just started praying, Brother Tam. I said, Lord, I would like to preach in the very church that I got saved in. Lord, would you just work that thing out? Next thing I know, one pastor left, another pastor come. A few things took place. The next thing I know, I got a phone call and said, Brother Mark, would you come run a revival? I was like, why? Because that's the altar. That's the very place I got saved. And I like that. Why? Because that was my place of prayer. So anyway, let's get back into the script. I preach a whole message and never even get into the scripture. But these chief priests and the scribes are all about their position. They're about control. They're about prominence. They're about looking out after themselves. They're looking down on others. You said that ain't so. Yes, they were. Because look what it said whenever the kids were crying out, Hosannas unto the Holy One. The Bible said the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful thing they did, and what they do. The Bible said that they were sore displeased. Read some of the other gospels. They took counsel to slay him. They took offense against him. Why? Who's he think he is? Come in here and kick our tables over. Come in here and throw out those that were dealing in the coinage. Those that were bringing their doves in, come in and pick you up a dove, go in, slay one, let one go. You know, just easy. Just, you got some money. You don't have to bring anything of your own. Just pick you one up when you get down there. Well, that's easy, ain't it? If we're not very careful, we'll get into that in the latter day. Then whenever we do, we'll become thieves in doing it because we steal from the very purpose of the house of God. Let's look first. We'll start off this thing in verse number 13. The Bible said, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So according to the scriptures, and it is according to the scriptures. Why? Because he said, it is written. If he's referring to it is written, he's referring back to a former writing in the scriptures and what he was doing. If you were to look at that passage of scripture in chapter number 13, where he said it is written, he's referring back to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 56. And that when he goes back over there, verse number 56 of Isaiah, verse number 7, what he's saying is it is written, and he goes back to the old scripture. That means that this is a biblical position. It's not something he concocted, even though he was the word and he was the only one that could profess that because he was the word, but he said it's written, it's established, this is of God. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer. If we ever get away from that, Brother Chris, we're losing it. I ask you from time to time, what could a man do to have more of the power of God in his life? Brother Chris's answer is always the same. He needs to pray more. That's universal. I mean, it sounds simple. Brother Kenny, you need more God's presence in your life? You need to pray. You say, I don't hear from heaven anymore. When's the last time you opened his book? He said it is written. So if it is written, how does he expressly speak to us? You said, well, he talks to me by the moving and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. That's how he speaks to it. But how does he expressly speak to you? He does it from the pages of this book. And bless God, if you're not spending some time in that book and in prayer, I'm wondering if you're really hearing from heaven like you should. I'm telling you what, you don't want God mad at you. You don't want him shutting up on you. And you sure don't want him finding you to be a thief, stealing from the very purpose of what was intended. He said this place should be a house of prayer. According to the scriptures, he said it is written. And then according to the Savior, he said my house. He didn't say somebody else's house. He said my house. So this place should be a place of prayer according to the scriptures, according to the Savior. And then also according to the sick in verse number 14, because the Bible said that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. What does the Bible say in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 31? He said they that are whole need not a physician, but those that are sick. This is a place for the sick, the lame, and the halt, the blind. That's where they went. Are we not lame? Before we got saved, were we not lame? We were walking by sight and not by faith. We were lame walking. Were we also not blind? Yes. We surely were. We didn't see by faith. We couldn't see anything. We just saw what was in front of us right now. And right now, what is mine. And what's his is his. And if he turns his back, I'm going to get what's his. And then what's his is to be mine. That's not what God wanted, though. The Bible said that this is supposed to be a place of prayer. He said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The scriptures declared it. The Savior declared it. These sick people declared it. That it should be what it is. But have we not seen it polluted so many times, Brother Tam? Have we not seen the church houses polluted? We went to a church, and it hadn't been too long ago. I believe we went to hear Brother Chris preach. You know where I'm going, don't you? Chris just mimicked it. He said, those rhymes. I've never heard Amazing Grace sing, Brother Tam, with three drums and a bass, a top hat, cymbal, and snare. I've never heard Amazing Grace played with a set of drums behind it. That thing was so out of it. It was worse than, well, I'm not even going to go there. Every analogy I can think is terrible. But damn, it was so out of whack. I'm sure they were donated by somebody by well-meaning thoughts and intents, and they give them to somebody in the church and said, look, put these in there. If you donate a set of drums here, I'm going to do what Larry Adams did with the trophies when he went down to Gordon. I'm going to load them up and take them to the landfill. You're serious. Some of this stuff doesn't belong in the house of God. Yeah, but what if they're for a good purpose? Let's don't take away from his purpose. His purpose said this place is supposed to be a place of prayer. And I'm afraid sometime we would pollute it by not honoring his place as being what it is. This place is holy. This place is special. I've heard it more in the last little bit because we've talked about the need for expansion, the need for a little bit more room on Sunday morning because we're sitting in each other's lap. But everybody that I've talked to that's come to me, and I think maybe even if some of the deacons have heard this, has been named with this, I hope we don't lose that holiness. And I hope we don't lose that closeness of fellowship one with another. Let's not lose that. That's what I'm hearing all from different sides of the churches. Let's not lose what we've got. And I believe that we can do some things, but yet keep it holy. And we must keep it holy. Brother Tam, you've even said this needs to be the most beautiful place in the community. And it should be. But God, this represents a holy God. We're going to worship him in a cardboard box. I will to worship him with everything we've got. And it should be the most beautiful place. Why? We are the beautiful church. We're the church you're coming back for. Right? This place should be something. And it should be special. Now, I'm not talking about extravagant to the waist. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about wastefulness. I'm not talking about we need a street of gold. We got that over yonder. But I'm talking about it will be nice. It will be holy. It will be just. It will be right. Let's keep the purpose right. What was the main purpose? He told us there in verse number 13. He said, this place is supposed to be called a place of prayer. As we go on down through, look what he said in verse number... Keep going. He said, and the blind, the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. And the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. And he said unto them, hearest thou what thou sayest? What is he doing here? I want you to flip with me real quickly over to the book of Luke. I quoted just a little piece of it a little while ago. Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. I want you to see what it is that he's doing whenever he goes to the house of God. What did the Lord of hosts do when he went there? Chapter number 4, the book of Luke, and verse number 16 down through about number 20 tells you what he does when he goes there. He said he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went up to the temple. I mean, that what was as his custom was. That means as he was accustomed to doing. It said as his custom was, he went up to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened this book, he found the place where it was written. And we're in verse number 18. If you were to go back and find that, you'd find that in Isaiah chapter number 49, verses 8 and 9. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do what? To preach. Not only is this place a place of prayer, but it is a place of preaching. Why? Because preaching pleases God. Can we get that settled once and for all? Preaching pleases God. Why does it please God? Because it pleased God to save them which were lost by what? The foolishness of preaching. He loves preaching. You've got some people, and I hear them all the time. They'll say, our preacher ain't preached in 14 weeks. Our preacher ain't preached in 3 months. Man, Scott, if you ain't preached in a church in 14 weeks or 10 months or whatever, man, Scott, you don't want preaching. You say, well, the singers sing. And this happens and that happens. I'm all for testimonies, but God, I liked what we had here Sunday. I enjoy good testifying. But God, the souls that are reached through the preaching of the cross of Christ. You better believe that. You're not saved, Brother James, through the singing of the gospel. You are saved. Yeah, we're supposed to sing spiritual songs and hymns and praises and songs. But God, let me tell you, Brother Tam, it's preaching that doesn't work. It is preaching. We seem confused on that sometimes in the local assemblies. Miss Lynn is preaching. How will they hear without a preacher? It didn't say how will they hear without a singer. It says how will they hear without a preacher? Where does this hearing come from? It comes by the word of God. Where does that come from? Through the preaching of God's word. It was his custom when he went to the synagogue, Brother Tam. When he went in there, it was a place of prayer. And he stood up to read. And he said that he took them straight to the scriptures. And said, the Lord hath anointed me to preach. To set the captives free. Look what he wrote in the scriptures there in Luke chapter number 4. And we're right there in that passage of scripture. And he says, no, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And man, don't we have those. To preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And what? To preach. He says it 3 different times. To preach the acceptable year of our Lord. If this ever loses, and I hope, pray it never does. This is a preaching church. I mean, y'all love preaching. We get Brother Larry Adams up here, that big old long leg, and he strut. I love that. He loved, why? Because we love preaching. Y'all love preaching. I don't think anybody preaches it too hard for y'all or for me. Brother, we love preaching. It confuses some people. And I preach in those churches. I don't think that I preach hard. Some say I do. Some say I don't care. What I just preach. I don't change. I preach now, brother, the same as I did back years ago. I'm just me. And you'll preach your way. And I'll preach mine. You'll preach your way. But if you ever been somewhere, Brother Kenny, where you could tell real quick they just weren't quite accustomed to what you were doing. They look at you kind of like a calf staring at a new gate. They look at you like you grew a third eyeball about right there, Melissa. And they're like, who let him out? Or how long has he been out? Or what's he on? You know that, Brother Derek. You've seen him. I've seen you preach, brother. You come out, I'm afraid about 2 seconds in, you're going to have a heart attack. Honestly, I think you're going to stroke out or something. Brother Derek comes out of there like a bull. I mean, it's like boom. But sometimes if a church is not accustomed to that preaching, they start to get, it gets really quiet really fast. Everybody looks at you. And they're wondering, what are we in for? Let me tell you, preaching pleases God. It does. God loves preaching. What did Jesus do? He stood up three times right there and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. So we're going back to our scriptures now in Matthew chapter number 21. He said that y'all made this a den of thieves. If he said it was a den of thieves, what is a den? What's a den? Huh? It's a place where something's holed up. Foxes have holes or dens, and that's where they burrow up. He said, y'all are nothing more than a bunch of holed up thieves. What is a multiple of a thief? That's the thieves. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the very scribes and the chief priest. He was talking to them. And he said, y'all made this place a den of thieves. So what it was, he was calling them, each and every one, a thief. Am I right or wrong? What else? Beyond being a place of prayer, or also being a place of preaching, what else did he say? Keep reading on down through there. He said, and the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and they even acknowledged, Brother Tam, that they saw the wonderful things that he did. But even as it was in the days of Princess Diana, even as it was in the coppersmiths and the tinsmiths and all those that made the little idols and made all their little trinkets and all their little gods and set them up, and that's how they made their living. And all of a sudden these disciples come in preaching this newfound thing called grace and tearing down their little statues and stuff. Kind of remember about Dagon whenever he lost his hands. You remember that? Knocked him over. His hands fell off and boom, and kept knocking him over. They were turning Thessalonica and all these places upside down. Why? Because this is all about the Lord now. Well, here it is. They've seen these wonderful things that the Lord is doing. And the Bible said it sorely displeased them. You can turn with me over to the book of Mark, chapter number 11, just a minute. If it's in the same place, we call them synoptic gospels. Turn over to Mark, chapter number 11, just for a minute. And I want to read a parallel scripture out of that. In Mark chapter number 11, we'll pick up the reading of verse number 17. And the Bible says, and this is the same passage, basically talking about the cleansing of the temple. He taught them saying that is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and saw how they might destroy him. In the book of Matthew in chapter number 21, it said that they were sore displeased. But in the book of Mark here, it said that they didn't just, not only were they sorely displeased about him, but it said there in that passage of scripture that they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Brother Derek, they don't want him in the house. But it's God, we need him in the house. Brother Ryan, we got to have him here, because if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ here in the personage of the Holy Spirit, we're not here having church. We're just here.
That's right. Amen.
They wanted to destroy him. That's what the scriptures declare. They sought to destroy him. But Tim, we saw just a glimpse of it Sunday. Started somewhere right over in here, and it goes back there, and it comes back up here, and it goes over here. It was some people offering praise. And you said, what's that about? This is not just a house of prayer and a house of preaching, but it's a place of praise. It's a house of praise. Look, you said, is it in the scriptures? It's right there what we just read. The Bible said in verse number 16, and he said unto them, hearest thou what they say? Who's he talking about? He's talking about, the Bible said in verse number 15, the children were crying in the temple saying, Hosanna! And then it said, that hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouths and babes and sucklings thou hast perfected what? Praise. This is a place of praise. We ought to be able to come in here. And Brother Ryan, you ought to be able to raise your hand up and praise the Lord without fear of somebody over saying, what's wrong with him? What's he got into? Well, Scott, maybe you need to get into it. Terry, it's something to be said whenever a man gets a little bit of Jesus in him. Next thing you know, brother, he's praising.
Amen.
I mean, Brother Kippy, I've never heard Brother Kippy with boldness on the back row stood up. I mean, I don't never hear anything out of him. He was so quiet. But there he was saying, you're going to get saved. And I'm like, whoa.
Amen.
With authority, he's saying, bless God, you ought to try it sometime. We ought to be able to offer praise to the Lord, Tim, for how good he is.
Yes, sir.
This is a house of praise.
Right.
It's not just a house of prayer. It is a house of prayer. It's not just a house of preaching. It ain't about me all the time. I'm the preacher. But brother, you ought to get on it once in a while by offering a little bit of praise. Amen. You got anything to praise him for?
Yeah, he saved my life.
He saved you. Is that all? Ain't that amazing though?
That's enough.
That's enough. If he never does anything for you else, he's done enough. But look at that passage of scripture. Is it, would it suffice it to say that they didn't like, that the chief priests and the scribes didn't like prayer? Or they didn't like preaching? And you could tell, Brother Derek, they did not like praise. Why? Because they were thieves. See, that praise, Brother Tam, it's not about them anymore. It's not about the Mr. Ken, the high priest, or Brother Tam, the scribe. Now it's all about Jesus Christ, the man. And brother, he's got that glory now. He come in with authority, kicked over their table. He did what he was going to do, and he drove them out of there, and he said, this is my house, and my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the next thing you know, they're praising the Lord, and they're hosannas, and there's praise going on. He said, this is my place. No wonder they were upset. They're no longer in charge. They're no longer calling the shots. He has taken back. He has repossessed what was his. You ever see a repo man? He'll get in there and get it because it's his. And bless God, if God wants his glory back, he can get it if he has to take you out of the picture to do it. And Brother Tam said, it's going to be a bad day for the man stealing my TV. Why? Tam said, I'm going to remove him from the picture. And I'm going to keep my TV. It's going to be a bad day. Is he going to meet my whatever? I don't know what his chosen caliber of choice is, but the repo man wants back what is his. And it's God's. He's due that. He's due our praise. He's due all glory. All honor belongs unto him. All glory belongs unto him. I read that verse of scripture that Brother Chris used earlier. He said, I am the Lord. This is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither is there praise given unto images, graven images. He said, it's mine. It belongs to me. Don't take it away from me. What did he do, Ryan? He kicked their tables over. Tam, would you not have liked to have seen that picture? Can you play that vividly enough in your mind? See a bunch of good old boys sitting around, oh, got a piece of broom straw between their teeth. They just got through eating them a meal. And they sitting in here, why? Because they know that the time of the sacrifice is coming up. But they're sitting there and they got them a straw off the broom over there. And they're sucking on that straw, picking the barbecue out of their teeth. And they're sitting there and here comes Derek in. They know Derek. Oh, Derek comes by here just every now and again. He got a few denarii in his pocket. He going to throw them into the little plate there and pick him up a couple doves. And here comes Derek again. Wait a minute. Who is this man coming in here? And here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Tam. And he gets right over there. And Brother Derek just kind of stops in his track. And here comes the Lord and says, get out of here. Kicks their tables over. And they're like, wow, what's going on? And then he goes right into this discourse. This is a house of prayer. This is a place of preaching. This is a place of praising. And you have stolen that. Now, going back, are you a thief? I'd have to say that we're all guilty. If we're not very careful, we're all guilty of taking that that does not belong to us. As a pastor, I have to be very careful that I don't take what's not mine. Brother Kenny, I'm just the fortunate one that God hath prospered and blessed to put in the suit and to put behind the bookboard. Y'all could do better, Brother Tam, far better by getting you another pastor and get him right quickly. But if he's not the one that God wants here, then you better leave things alone. You better not do, just go with God. But can you imagine just for a moment, Brother Grant, we come in here and we start getting a little highfalutin and we're looking down our nose up here at Harmony. We're looking down our nose over here at Cricket or whatever the next church down the road is. And we start thinking, Brother Ken, that, yeah, we're doing good. They got 40 people and we got 400. They got four cars and we got 40. Boy, we must be something special. You know what? God bless them 40. God bless them four. If they're doing it in the right spirit, in the right way, they're there, and that is their house of preaching and their house of praise, their house of prayer, then God bless them and prosper them. Amen. Are you a thief? Could we be guilty of being thieves? Could we be guilty of stolen that which belongs unto God? I'm going to close out with another verse of scripture. Go with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians. I appreciate y'all, and Jessica, honey, I appreciate you taking care of the baby. Whenever the natives get restless, they need attention, and I appreciate that. I saw some a while ago that needed a little attention. Couldn't even hear Cindy talking because they were running like a bunch of wild Comanches through the building we were in. They needed a little bit of attention, but anyway. That baby was probably hungry or something. I didn't say take her out there and do anything to her, just love on her a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 21. Look at who's writing it and look at who it's written to. The Holy Ghost has inspired Paul. Paul's pinned it down to the church at Corinth. So it's written to a church. It's written to a body of believers. What? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hear Karen's back from her gallbladder surgery. That was a trouble check. Y'all did good. See if you're following along. Actually, I messed up. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, we know that Jesus Christ, he even said, I stood up to read. I stood up to preach. Here Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, go on over to chapter number 2 and verse number 4. It says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Kenny, this is what I love about you, brother. We stood in the prayer circle over there just the other Sunday morning. And I told Brother Kenny, I said, Brother Kenny, I love you and I appreciate you. And I tell you all the time, and I tell Miss Sam that, and I tell Shirley that, and I tell Calvin and Rudine that. I am so thankful that the Lord sent y'all back here. Amen. Y'all have been a blessing unto me. Tim, you've been such an instrument of encouragement to me. And the you that are already here, the steadfastness of you that are here, every time you're supposed to be here, you're here. That is a great encouragement to me. Kenny looked right over at me. He said, Preacher, I'm just a simple man. That's what he said. I'm just a simple man. Brother, that's what I need. That's what we need. We need the simplicity of the gospel. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but I did come with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's just a simple message. It's not filled with flattering words. It's just a subtle reminder to us, brother, that if we're not careful, we could become thieves. You mentioned Ichabod the other day. When I was preaching, you said Ichabod. I know you said it somewhere during the message. Do you know what the term Ichabod is? The glory hath departed. Ichabod over the door, that kind of thing. Tam, I don't want that. I want the glory of God to be here in all of its power, in all of its might. But Brother Chris, if that's to happen, then this must remain a place of prayer. It must. And it must remain a place of preaching. You said, well, some preachers are teachers and some teachers are preachers. Yeah, the preacher's supposed to be apt to teach. But I want preaching. When it comes time for preaching, I want preaching. And then when it comes time to that very time that we don't have them often. Give a little bit of praise once in a while. Just offer him a little bit of praise in his house because he surely is worthy. His power won't show up unless we do. Miss Macy, come, honey. Brother Scott, if you want to come, just get us a song.